Good morning. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Pastor Brian. And people have read the words this morning. Wonderful. Before I start, I'd like to pray. I'd like to pray that we could sense God's presence in a deep and real and meaningful way. Dear Lord, Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you went to the cross. We thank you that you died and rose again. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the personal relationship that we have with you that's available to us. We thank you. You said it's better if I go, and I will send him, the Comforter. Him, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, I will send him to you. So, as we read your word, as I share my thoughts and preach on this subject, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would make yourself known to us, that you would change us, you would fill us, you would renew us, you would strengthen us. We ask this for your kingdom and for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luke, part 2. I think that's what Brian suggested. And I think that's apt. It's a great follow-on. It was written by Luke, Dr. Luke. And Brian said it was the Acts of the Apostles. Many manuscripts, many Bibles state that it's the Acts of the Apostles. And it is. But I wrote this sermon and I called it The Acts of Whom? The earliest manuscripts were only said Acts, didn't say Acts of the Apostles. So, would it be fair to say it's the Acts of Jesus? Maybe part one was the Acts of Jesus. In Luke that we heard, the actions, the recording, what he did. Should it be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit? Well, maybe. Or should it be called the Acts of the Early Church, the Apostles? Together, saved by Jesus through his blood, united by and empowered by the Holy Spirit, which is the same Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the same Holy Spirit that resides in us. I thought long and hard about how I would share this message. And it's changed a lot. It's evolved over these last weeks, month, as I've been meditating upon these scriptures, been thinking, praying, fasting, seeking the Lord's face, meeting together with my dear brothers, Dr. David, Jeff, Pastor Brian, talking about these scriptures and how they're relevant for us today in 21st century Skopje, the International Church of Skopje, which has people from all over the world for a time like now. Well, I will start by telling you a story about a young man. He was 23 years old and he's walking home from a pub, that is a public house. You Americans. That's a bar that sells alcohol. When suddenly, on his way home, this young man came under conviction. He did not know what was really happening to him. He felt a physical experience. Something very strange was happening. A strong presence. He found himself having a conversation And he was having a conversation with God. He was having a conversation with Jesus Christ. And he remembered Doubting Thomas from his Sunday school, from when he was a child. And he said, "Unless I see you, I will not believe. Unless I..." And by this time, he was walking up the hill to his home with his hand on the garden gate. And he had a compulsion. The hairs on his neck stood up. The hairs on his arm stood on end. And he had a compulsion to turn around. And as he turned around, the black winter clouds suddenly parted from east to west. And a face appeared, white as the moon, gloriously brilliant, with a crown. It dazzled him. He was afraid. He didn't know what to do. He clearly recognized who it was. It was Jesus. His heart was beating. It was almost exploding inside his chest. And Jesus spoke. He spoke with a voice that reverberated. It was powerful, but calm. It was mighty, but it was gentle. And it said, "I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and I am the end. I am him who was crucified, but I live forevermore. I am, I was, and I am here to come." And that was 1985. And that young man was me. And I've never shared that publicly. I may be told a few people in all these years, because it's precious. It's mine. I'm not special. I share this for the glory of Jesus Christ, that he meets us where we're at. In our foolishness, he displays his glory. You might have thought, after that mighty and powerful experience, that I came to the Lord. Well, I wish I did. Another 10 years before I eventually did accept Jesus, when I was in a prison cell. And I can honestly say that 10 years from that vision to meeting Jesus and salvation in a prison cell were the hardest 10 years of my life. And I wouldn't want anybody to experience my rebellion. I was more interested in what other people thought than what God thought of me. I had such a fear of man's opinion and what other people thought, rather than what God thought. And Psalm 139, thank you for reading, I forgot all about it. So straight after this, what I did, I went to Australia. I got on a plane from England, I went to the other side of the world. I run away from God. Are you ready? Where can I hide from your spirit? And I met my sister there. I had a half-sister. My dad was married before. And the first thing she did, she said, "I'm a born-again Christian. Here's a Bible." But still, 10 years. My prayer is, if you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart like I did. Receive his grace. Receive his mercy. Receive his love. Pentecost means 50. It was 50 days since Passover. It was now the harvest festival, a religious Thanksgiving festival where Jews gathered to praise and worship God for the harvest. It had been 10 days since Jesus' ascension into heaven. They were all together in one place, the apostles and the believers, a number totally, approximately 120. When suddenly they heard a sound like a mighty blowing wind. No wind, just a sound. They saw what seemed to be fire, tongues of fire that came to rest upon them, but it did not burn them, it did not consume them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They'd been waiting, believing, praying, dedicating themselves to prayer. And the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Imagine that. For one moment. Imagine that sound. The power of Holy Spirit leaving heaven and entering this world. A mighty rushing wind. Wow, what a vacuum. What a sound. Imagine that. That all the people heard it. All these people at the festival heard it. They wondered what was going on. Local God-fearing Jews and visiting Jews from many, many nations. They were there for the Thanksgiving. Utterly amazed at this noise and experience, they asked, these men are speaking Galileans, but each one of them heard them praising God in their own language. Totally amazed and dumbfounded. How could this be? These Galileans, and we can hear them in our own language. They were from Persia, from Iran, Mesopotamia, Iraq, Judea, Turkey, Egypt, Rome, Crete, Arabia. Amazed and bewildered, not fully getting their head around what was going on. They asked each other, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them. They said they'd been drinking wine and they was drunk. Sound familiar? Some things we don't understand. We can't comprehend. Some supernatural. We want to explain it away. And often, fear, misunderstanding. We put two and two together and come up with five. Do we ever criticize God? Do we ever criticize the Holy Spirit? Lord have mercy. Peter stood up with the 11 apostles and said, under conviction, under the power, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. This is what the Joel prophet spoke about. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and shine signs on the earth below. Blood, fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. guy on the wrong slide. Thank you. See, I used Joel's prophecy. A great and glorious day. Great and dreadful day. Doesn't really matter. I just prefer it. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that wonderful? Is there an elephant in the room? Well, why doesn't that happen today? I've never experienced a mighty rushing wind. No fire and flames have licked me. Haven't they? Is there an elephant in the room? I'm not sure. Maybe. I think when God, by His Holy Spirit, first entered this world, He created some noise and some attention and some commotion. But I think the supernatural actually happens a lot more often than we realize. A lot more often than we comprehend and understand. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you're a miracle. You're a miracle. You've already passed from death to life. You've already passed from light, from darkness to light. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit resides in your heart. In Ephesians, we did the book of Ephesians last year, it says He puts it as a deposit in our heart that guarantees our inheritance. To let us know He's coming back for us. I was in a church in Swansea, maybe about 15 years ago, when apparently a guy died. He was in two rows in front of me. There was a bit of a commotion. This was during a service. They were actually just about to break bread, and this guy had a heart attack and died. But he didn't fall on the floor. His head fell really strange. I thought he'd fallen asleep. I thought he must be ill. Very quickly, he was an elder. He was supposed to be doing the table, by the way. So they came quickly, the pastor and some of the guys, they prayed for him. And he woke up. He was dead. They took his pulse. The guy was dead. I seen him. It was like where Seth David was, and I was sat where Peter was. And I witnessed it with my own eyes. And I said, nah. Oof, I did not. Ooh, I felt really uncomfortable. Supernatural happens, friends. Happens all the time. But you won't find it on Google. You won't find it in the newspapers. This stuff isn't in the media. Brian asked last week, maybe not directly as idol, whose kingdom are we building? I think that was the gist of the sermon. What is the kingdom? What is the kingdom? Is not God living, being, breathing, dwelling, overflowing in our hearts by His Spirit, together with Him? Are we not the church, His kingdom? Is that not what it's all about? When His government is established in our hearts, when we yield to His authority, to His rule, and to His reign, and to His word, yes, it is the kingdom. And when we together, this body of believers, together, it says, we are the church. We are the vessel that he's chosen to use. We are the vehicle that's been set already. His hands, his eyes, his feet. We are the ones that does his work. Not for salvation. If we could ever save ourselves, never in a million years. But because he loves us. That we step in them works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. Together, in unity, one church, one God, one Spirit, one baptism, many denominations, many local churches, but we're one body. We're one. Why is it we want to separate? Why is it we give the enemy a footstool to argue about theology and doctrine? And I'm as guilty as anybody else. God, forgive me. These guys are patient. We have some real first-class discussions. But we're one body. Vance Havner, we are not going to move this world by criticism of it, nor conformity to it, but by the combustion within it of our lives ignited by the Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful? I'll say it again. We're not going to move this world by criticism of it, nor conformity to it, but by the combustion within it of lives ignited by the Spirit of God. And that takes humility, humbleness, maturity, to love each other, to put others before ourselves. And it's impossible to do without His Spirit. It's impossible and too selfish.
Let me take care of this.
Thank you. We've already received the fullness of the Holy Spirit when we got saved. Jesus said, it's better I go to the Father, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Well, why did the Holy Spirit come? Key verse of the whole book of Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Power for service. We need the Holy Spirit in all its fullness, in all its power, in all His gifting, for all the supernatural works of this church, of this body that we're called to. Power for witness. Have you ever tried to share God's love in your own strength? It's like rolling an egg up the hill with your hands tied behind your back. Have you ever stepped into a conversation and God's orchestrated it? You just say a word that flows. Proverbs calls them apples of gold. Being in tune with God. That we would minister to the people that God has already prepared through His Spirit. Power to overcome. For we walk in the flesh, but we do not wage war against the flesh. We need the Holy Spirit's power to overcome our sinful nature. And His grace when we fall. I used to be a junkie. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be a liar. I used to be a thief. And now I'm not. Did I do it in my own strength? Are you kidding me? I couldn't do it. I tried. I couldn't do it. I found out long ago, I can't love you. Too selfish. But if I allow God, I can love you lots. And you can love me. And I'm not easy to love. That's my wife. Power to overflow, to transform, form, to inspire, to impress, to influence, to build his kingdom. We are the vehicle that God has chosen. His mouth, his hands, his eyes, his feet, his heart, this treasure in these jars of clay, his Holy Spirit. We need his Spirit, his power, his gifting, his ministry. He's poured out his Spirit on us so we can meet every Sunday, sing songs and have a social club and drink coffee. No. No. And if you can't declare Jesus Christ is Lord in here, you're not going to do it in the workplace. If you can't put your hands up and worship God here, you're not going to worship him anywhere else. Now please, you don't have to put your hands up to worship God. I know that. God looks at our hearts. But you know where I'm going. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? If he asks for some food, would you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who... Sorry?
Ask.
Can't hear you.
Ask.
Ask. When was the last time you asked for the Holy Spirit? Oh, I don't have that gifting. It's not my calling. Have you asked for it? What is your calling? Time is short, friends. I wasted lots of my life. Time is short. And the enemy's a liar. He'll tell you all the time in the world, just enjoy yourself. Don't be radical. Chill out. Relax. Sit. Been there, done it, got the scars to prove it. It's only by the grace of God I'm alive. Looks good on the outside. Promises you everything and it gives you nothing. The very little you have, it steals that. Have you read about the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12? Do we believe that gifts are for today?
Yes.
How are we going to build this church without them gifts? Hebrews 6 said, let's leave the elementary teachings, the laying on of hands, an elementary teaching. When was the last time we laid hands on you and prayed for you? When was the last time somebody laid hands on me and prayed for me? It tells us to eagerly desire the gifts, the greater gifts, for the building of the body of Christ. For works of service, for witness, for building his kingdom. We cannot do it in our own strength. It says we don't have because we don't ask. When was the last time you was drunk, intoxicated, abundantly abounding, copiously awash, brimming over, mobbed, teeming, swarming, overflowing with the Holy Spirit? I didn't mean drunk and alcohol. That leads to debauchery. When was the last time that you got away with God? That you plugged into his Spirit and worshipped him and his Spirit was overflowing? I first met my wife, you know what attracted me? Beside of being beautiful, I seen Jesus. I seen God in her. She was beautiful. She was radiant. But it was an overflow. It was an overflow, friends. And when the looks fade and gravity takes its toll, she's still going to be beautiful. It's the beauty of Jesus Christ through His Spirit that people see in us that attracts us to Him, attracts them to Him. See, with God your credit's good. You have access 24/7. He's available. The veil is torn in two. Are we struggling with sin? Have we asked His fire to consume our darkness, to burn up the dross, to get rid of the garbage, the junk that we struggle with? Fire not only consumes, but baptizes you with fire and power. It ignites, it spreads, it's contagious, its flame spreads. And we have that deposit. If Jesus was here at ICS this morning, if He was physically in Alexander Palace, if He was right here, right now in Skopje, would you want to meet Him? Would you want to get to know Him? What would you say to Him? What would you ask Him? If you had total access 24/7, how much time would we spend with Him? The Holy Spirit is here. We have access 24/7. And it costs a great price. It costs His blood, His life. And we put it in the pocket with our car keys. Forget about it. Certainly I do. Conclusion of the matter. We need the Holy Spirit in all its fullness, in all its power, in all its gifting, for the supernatural works of the church that we are called to. Power for witness. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. We're His witnesses, folks. There isn't a plan B. This is it. God chose the weak things of this world. That's me and you, friends. He's chosen us. And there's no higher call. There is no higher call. From the guttermost to the uttermost. Power to overcome. We need God's power to overcome sin and temptation. Young people, the internet, the media, Facebook, the social pressures. You need the power of the Spirit to live a godly life. And so do we, friends. As guys, we need it in all its fullness. As women, young women, everybody, all of us, we need it. But there's good news. He's available. Power to overflow, to transform, to inspire, to influence. We're the vehicle God has chosen to build His kingdom. These treasures in these jars of clay. Father God, I thank You for ICS. I thank You for this beautiful place where Your Spirit leads and resides. Bind us together. Make us doers of Your word, Lord, and not just hearers.
Help us to be obedient, Lord. Show us the way. Strengthen us. Fill us. Help us to be witnesses. Help us to overcome. And help us to overflow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.